Welcome, everybody, to the Ring Podcast, episode 39. Puff, who's 39?
Arguably the best goalie of all time, Dominik Hasek. He wasn't my favorite goalie, but he was at his peak. He was pretty much as good as it gets for the position.
And he was playing for
He started in Chicago, but his Buffalo is where he really became a superstar. And then he had some good years in Detroit too.
Yeah, I was down at that Buffalo game and I saw his jersey up on the wall, or the, you know, like some retired number for him or something. Yeah, that's cool. Peaking in Buffalo, Dominik Hasek, number 39. Good, right on. Anyone else?
No, I can't think of anyone.
Because is that
Travis Green?
Is Travis 30s, Green
might have been 39.
Going back to what we said, 30s are a lot of time goalies. Is that what you're saying? A lot of time goalies are in the 30s.
At least historically.
Right. The newcomers don't like the new generation isn't necessarily doing that.
No,
I think we're losing tradition. I think,
there's definitely numbers that are a little bit all over the place now.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, good. Well, listen, we're Dominik Hasek. Okay, number 39, which is great. We're almost at that 40 mark. We'll be back actually next week with a 40. We have an interview next week for our 40th episode with Ty Campbell, who is the new coach for the U13 single A Avenue Road Ducks. We've done that interview. That was a really great interview. So it was great to him. So that will come out next week. So everyone should listen to that. That was a really good conversation with someone who had played the G and is now coaching, and it's his first year coaching a team.
Yes.
Yeah.
And a little tease, they had a big win.
Oh, good. Good, 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 good. Yeah, because that was – right. Yeah.
We had taped the podcast before this game, and so they had the big W. So
good for him. Good for tying the Ducks. Yeah, that's great. So we'll have him next week, and then we're coming to the end. I guess we'll have to sit down at some point and figure out when we do wrap for the season. But it sounds like we probably have a couple more weeks, and then we'll take off for the summer for a bit,
unless we just carry into spring and summer hockey.
Right, and ball hockey.
ball hockey
starts next week.
My team snap just filled up.
I know. I just got two new teams submitted on there, too.
I think Barrett's got a game at like 9 p.m. on a Saturday night. Times have changed.
Sunday at 9 till 10, pretty regularly for Ozzy.
I remember all the olden days when it was 8 and 9 o'clock in the morning at Saturday and Sunday morning.
Yeah, that was it. I didn't mind that because on Saturday morning, sometimes we would like do the game at 8 a.m. and then boot up to the cottage and just miss the Sunday. It was sort of the routine. Now they're all over the map and, you know, but which is fine.
It's hard to follow.
Yep. It's okay. It will all be over at some point, which is, you know, so enjoy it while we have it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Which is great. So, why don't we go into it? So, Puff, it sounds like you had a busy week because you were at a couple games this week as you guys were preparing for your playoff run.
Yeah, Austin's team, we were at Chesswood on the weekend. We had a tough one. Markham thumped us pretty good. So we got one last game on Saturday to wrap up our season. And then Bears team, they've already advanced to the East final. So Tanya and I went out to watch the other semifinal in the East, which was West Hill and the Scarborough Young Bruins.
Where
on Monday night at Scarborough Centennial. Packed house, a boisterous crowd. Everything is on the line because it was game six, so it's 5 points apiece. So if it was tied, they would go to overtime. And there was a few kids suspended, some controversy over the suspension, some parents not happy about this. And it was a terrific hockey game.
Was the suspensions for the kids legit? Like, were there like some really bad plays going on?
Well, I was at the I didn't see the one suspension for one of the kids who got suspended in game five. He had, I think it was for a hit. But I saw the one in I believe it was game four, and it was for four games. So the penalty called was a 4-minute penalty, but he didn't get kicked out. So I didn't think there was much going to happen to it, but I guess a video might have been submitted, and the GTHL came hard down on the Bruins. And so the kid was out for,
So these suspensions were from even before this game. They didn't even happen at the game.
So there was two kids on the Bruins suspended for that final game.
So this is U14 AA, and game six going, winner goes to the final, losers out.
Yes.
And the Pack Barn, and it's Scarborough versus West Hill. So both East End teams fighting pretty hard together. So yeah, that sounds like an intense game.
And it went to overtime. So there was a flood after the three periods, and then it went to a second overtime. And then West Hill won it on a puck that it wasn't a clear goal. Like, it might have got over the line or it might not have, but they ruled it a goal. I saw a video that looked like it went over the line, but it was certainly close.
Oh, no.
So you could see how it got pretty heated. There was the coaches were in each other's faces at center ice after the game. It was the scene. Yeah, after the handshakes, I guess some words were exchanged, and you could see clearly on the live bar, and they had a pretty good hold of each other and weren't sure what was going to happen. But
and then how did it cool down? Just like assistance coaches?
I think they probably realized nobody stepped in.
Oh, no.
One of the assistant coaches for West Hill, he was right there, and he was sort of telling the guy, the Bruins coach,
to back down.
I think they both probably realized that if a punch got thrown, it could have got really dicey for someone. So cooler heads prevailed. But it was it wasn't a good look to have.
Were they mad at the refs?
I think it was probably just over the whole series. And I think there was definitely some parents weren't happy with the refereeing in the series. Yeah. But I mean, I think it was a heated environment. Both teams really wanted to win, and obviously there's only one winner. So it was a great game. The kids played, both goalies played outstanding. And the kids played hard. It was a good hockey. It was great hockey.
Good. Well, that's good. And too bad about the little drama at the end. Hopefully they treated the refs well, coming off our interview with Abu. You know, we all got some good lessons on how to treat refs, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
I've been very good with the refs since the interview.
You've learned lessons is what you're saying. You've changed. Your behavior changed. Good.
Yep.
I like it. Wow, that's great. And so going back though, you said something about like people submitted videos. So like a play happened, the game was over, everyone just finished their thought the next day was happening, and then they get an email or something from the G that another person has submitted the video for a further call on it.
Well, I know that's happened a few times in these playoffs. I know in AAA, the Vaughn Kings U14 team had a player suspended when the referee didn't even call a penalty on the play. But on video, you could see he had slashed the kid pretty hard. And I think this is a similar thing. The referee certainly called a penalty on the hit, but I guess the GTHL, when they looked at the video, deemed it was an excessive hit and worthy of a 4-game suspension. So, I mean, I can understand how it would be frustrating for the kids and family, but also no one wants to see kids get hurt. And I think in this situation, a kid was hurt. So the GTHL was trying to stop that kind of stuff from happening.
Yeah. And video certainly helps with that, but they didn't have video all the time. So this is the whole video recall is new, right? And so I guess, like old timer hockey, no video recall.
I do like it that things that maybe would otherwise have gotten unnoticed. The video doesn't lie. I mean, especially the live barn cameras do catch a lot of stuff, and now they're in almost every rink. Toronto and Ted Reeve have it now, so there isn't very many places you can get away with stuff.
Yeah, good.
Scarborough Village, they need to figure that out.
So Scarborough Village, you can still get away with stuff, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's the one. Do you know if George Bell Arena has Live Barn?
See, I do not. Now, George Bell Arena is, I think, only NYHL. There's, I don't think, any GTHL games. Now, having said that, NYHL also does have a live barn type of feed you can buy. It's different than the GTHL one, but I think it's different than the package. GTHL one. Maybe it's the same. Yeah.
Maybe it's the same. Well, listen, I did, you know how over the course of the season I've done sort of who is, what this is about. And so today... I decided to do George Bell Arena because I know it's not necessarily in the G, but it is a famous arena in Toronto. And I figured it was due to give it a little bit of credit. But here's my problem is when I first saw George Bell Arena, I was like, we named an arena after a Blue Jay. Like, I couldn't believe it. That was always my thought.
You actually did think that, eh?
No. It's amazing. Like, I'm going back 10 years ago or so now, but like, I was like, yeah, we need like, okay, George Bell was wicked baseball player, like big Blue Jay, but like we gave him an arena. Like I miss this. And like out of all the Jays that have all had, we're like, why arena and why George? But I did a little bit of research. And so I found out a little bit about George Bell Arena. So today we're going to do what is George Bell Arena or who is George Bell Arena or whatever we want to call it. So little history lesson for you. The arena was, it's first of all, the George Bell Arena is at 215 Riding Avenue, which is near Renamede and St. Clair. I didn't even know where it was, to be honest. I always, when the guys were younger or other team, we played George Bell, but I actually never really knew where the George Bell Arena was. So it's Junction, West End. And the arena was built in 1961, and it replaced an outdoor rink called Ravina Rink. And it was named in honor of George T. Bell, which was Toronto's park commissioner. Nice. Yeah. And back then in 1961, it cost $500,000 to make. So that's how much the rink cost to make back then.
And a lot for 1961, but.
Yeah. And it caters to ice skating, obviously figure skating, public skating, hockey. But they've also, back in the day, had wrestling there a lot.
Nice.
A lot of wrestling there, as well as roller derby, apparently.
Oh,
so it's been, it's been something for a little bit of everybody. It was also the practice arena for the visiting NHL teams when they were playing the Maple Leafs back in the day. So when, you know, from maybe in the 60s and 70s and 80s, when the visiting team would come, the visiting team got to practice at George Bell Arena, which is great. You know, hockey legend Gordie Howe has graced the ice, actually. Yes, Gordie Howe played on the George Bell ice, as did his son Marty, who made his debut there with the Toronto Marlboro Juniors 1 week after his father retired from the National Hockey League. And a little bit of, you know, former mayor, Toronto Mayor Donald Dean Somerville, an avid hockey fan, he suffered a fatal heart attack while playing in a charity hockey tournament at George Bell Arena in 1963, 2 years after it was built. Because of municipality boundary guidelines at the time, the closest ambulance operated by the York Township Fire Department was never called. Instead, a city ambulance was dispatched from more than 16 kilometers away. And unfortunately, the mayor died waiting for aid. At George Bell Arena. So a little bit of sad history at George Bell Arena.
That
a little
very
controversy
sad.
Around what ambulance to call back when the city wasn't a mega city and had the different boroughs on who would come and get them. So the mayor passed away there. That was in 1963. And the big thing about George Bell Arena, my little bit of research that I can see is it has some of the best views in all the arenas in Toronto. There's not an obstructed view wherever you are, apparently.
Really?
Yeah. So I haven't
remember. I think I liked it there.
The quote that I got here is there are no pillars. So, you know, I think that helps with unobstructed views.
it's hopefully not it's still standing.
Yeah. And, you know, some people say it's the best ice in Toronto. So it gets a lot of praise from the people, local people there. George Bell Arena, you know, they have the junior George Bell, hockey team there. I would also tell you, I'll warn you this, if you Google George Bell Arena and you know, and it says, you know, visit the website and you click it, it doesn't take you to George Bell Arena. I can tell you that right now.
Oh, yeah. Where does it take you?
Well, it's a little bit.
Oh, the dark web.
It takes you to the dark web. I saw it on there. I went to George
Bell Arena. Now everyone's going to be checking out George
Bell. Yeah, you can check it out. It goes to like, let's just say a massage therapist. Yeah. So anyway, that was a little bit of a shock in the old research department. But anyway, so there you go. George Bell Arena. I know it's not necessarily tied to the G, but George Bell Arena does feel like a little bit of Toronto history. I was always curious on who George Bell was. Not much about him beyond he was a park commissioner who really loved, you know, Toronto and obviously all the hockey and actually he does have a quote here. Oh, actually two more things about it. Back in the day, not anymore since Mattamy's been built, but the Ryerson Rams, this was their main tenant. They were their main tenant. They were practicing
really
all the time. Yeah. That was their main, arena that they used. And on George Bell's 80th birthday in September of 1975, Bell offered these words of wisdom. So we'll wrap this part with this. Keep yourself current and stop criticizing young people. That was his
love it.
That was his counsel to people on his 80th birthday in 1975.
That's great counsel.
There you go. So those words live long today. So there you go. Don't criticize young people and stay current. So there you go, Puff.
That's
speaking
awesome.
Of staying current.
Yes.
Why don't we jump into what we like to keep people current with, which is the ranking.
The ranking. Well, yeah, the news, then what the playoff or news, what's going on.
Playoff rankings, yeah.
You!
10.
We'll start with U10, AAA. They're still making their way through the first round of the playoffs, if you can believe it. The top four teams in the regular season, the Marlboros, Vaughn Kings, Young Nats, and JRC, sit in the top four spots in the first round standings. But the Mississauga Senators are lurking just 1 point behind the Young Nats. A huge game for the Senators next Tuesday against the Don Mills Flyers. A Sens win will most likely put them in the top four and knock out the Nats. U10AA in the East, the top seed EastEnders have been joined by the second and joined in the second round by Ted Reeve, North Toronto, and West Hill. The four-team round robin will get underway next Tuesday with EastEnders, Ted Reeve favored to go through. Out west, the second seed Mississauga Beast could not overcome an 0-3 start in the round robin and failed to advance to the second round. The top seed Wolverines, 4th seed Humber Valley Sharks, 5th seed Vaughan Rangers, and 6th seed Terriers advanced. They will begin their series Tuesday night as well. U10 Single A, Avenue Road in North Toronto are on to the second round, with the Toronto Arrows needing 2 points in their last two games to also advance. Huge game Thursday night between Ted Reeve and Forest Hill. A Ted Reeve win will most likely knock out Markham for the last spot in the semifinals. Out west, Humber Valley Sharks, the Toronto Attack, and the Greater Toronto Capitals are on to the second round, which begins on Saturday. U11 AAA, the top three seeds, the Toronto Marlboros, JRC, and the Young Nats have advanced to the second round. The 8 seed Don Mills Flyers can steal the final semifinal spot, but will need to win its last two games over the 5th seed Reps and the 4th seeded Vaughan Kings. U11 AA in the East, the top seed EastEnders and the 2nd seed Leaside Flames have advanced to the second round. Huge game Friday night at Leaside Arena when the 6th seed Ted Reeve faced the 3rd seed North Toronto. A Ted Reeve win or tie will move them into the semifinals, leaving North Toronto out in the cold.
So Ted Reeve and the younger group seem to be hot teams, which is...
Yeah, they are very strong at AA for, and single A for some of them, but for AA at U10, 11, 12,
right.
13 even, they're pretty good.
Right.
But Ted Reeve's doing quite well.
This is a question for you. If Ted Reeve, because Ted Reeve has no AAA teams, right? There's no AAA team there. If Ted Reeve organization all of a sudden wanted to put together a AAA roster in some of the divisions, is that something they could just do because they have, or is there a big, do you understand why they wouldn't? Because it seems like there is a lot of AAAers in our neighborhood. They all play for other teams. But I would feel like an organization that has a lot of history, like a Ted Reeve, or pick someone else like that, would try to make their own AAA division. No, am I totally out to lunch on this?
No, they keep that separate. The GTHL has their 12 AAA franchises in Toronto, and those are the only 12 that are allowed.
That's it. So that's the only 12.
Yeah, if you wanted, say you were a very strong Ted Reeve team, the thing that could happen maybe is the coach for that team might move up and take over, you know, a Toronto Titans, say, and bring players with them. But they wouldn't just
with 12 teams.
There's only the 12 teams. Yeah, they won't.
They don't allow. They won't.
You're not allowed to have a.
No, there's no Seattle Kraken.
They tried. There was there was talk about having a new team come in, but it never. As of right now, I'm not saying it will never happen. It could happen, but as of right now, I think they'd be more likely to maybe move one of the AAA. Some of them aren't doing particularly well. Haven't been able to figure out how to put together competitive teams at most of the age groups. So I could see maybe somebody coming in and maybe moving it to a different part of the city.
Right, got it.
Like a Toronto Titans, for example, who don't they have a couple teams that are pretty decent, but a lot of them are quite poor. So maybe they could move to, say, Beaches, you know?
Right.
And now there's a Beaches AAA team. But
understood. Okay, sorry.
That's not happening right now. No problem. Out west, and this is U11AA, the top two seeds, Mississauga Beast and Vaughan Panthers, are on to the semis. But in a surprise, they are joined by the sixth seed, Mississauga Terriers, and the 10th seed, Humber Valley Sharks, who started off in the preliminary round, went perfect in that round, so they advanced to the top eight. And now they're advancing to the semifinals. So I do not know what's gone on with that U11AA West Humber Valley team, but they have turned their season around. They are very hot. U11 Single A in the East, the second seed, North Toronto, despite losing its final game to Leaside Gold, advanced to the second round, winning the tiebreaker over the Ice Raiders and Ted Reeve. Leaside, Forest Hill, and Don Mills also advanced. Out west, the Applewood Coyotes beat the Port Credit Storm in their final first-round games to win the tiebreaker over West Mall for the final spot in the semifinals, joining Vaughan Rangers, Toronto Wolverines, and the Attack. U12 AAA, top seed North York Rangers and second seed JRC are through to the second round, while the third seed Toronto Marlboros and fourth seed Mississauga Rebels will advance if they win their final games. U12 AA in the East, the top three seeds, Ted Reeve, Young Bruins, and Markham Islanders, have advanced to the second round, where they will be joined by the fifth seed Scarborough Ice Raiders. Out west, the top seed Toros, along with the third seed Vaughan Rangers and fourth seed Humber Valley Sharks, are under the second round. Big surprise are Mississauga Beast. Those are the kids we had on for an interview earlier. They came up short, and they lost to the Toros in their final game, which allowed the Mississauga Terriers to grab the final semifinal spot. So that's a disappointing end of the season for those kids.
Yeah.
They had a very strong season, but the playoffs, you know, a couple tough results, and you can find yourself in a lot of trouble. And unfortunately for them, they couldn't pull through.
Well, time to get ready for, I guess, this summer league, and we'll hear all about them next year, I'm sure, you know?
Exactly.
I don't think they're going to go down lying down, you know what I mean? They're going to come back strong.
Yeah, they got a great group of kids there. U12 Single A in the East, the top three seeds, Leaside Flames, Ted Reeve, and North York, have all advanced to the second round. The surprise team is seventh seed North Toronto, earned the final spot over Avenue Road when they beat the Ducks 4-3 on Monday night. Out west, the top three seeds, the Vaughan Rangers, Avalanche, and Humber Valley, grabbed the top three spots in round two, with the fifth seed Vaughan Panthers edging out the fourth seed West Small Lightning to advance to the semis. U13 AAA have advanced to the semifinals, where they're now playing a series. So GCAT, maybe we should because all the other AAAs are, the older AAAs are all done, so maybe we should get Stoff in here at some point in a bit, and he'll
do another bet around the 13, because
right now I'm taking you out pretty good. So let's
see, double or nothing it on this one, on the AAA U13.
Yes, yeah, okay, sure, let's do that.
The only way out for me. It's the only way out.
That's it. So we'll get back to U13 AAA in a second. U13 AA in the East saw a pair of surprising results with the fifth seed North York Knights and the seventh seed Scarborough Young Bruins advancing to the East Final over the top seed Forest Hill and the two-time defending city champs EastEnders. North York Knights won game one on Wednesday night, 4-2. At West, no surprise, the top seed Duffield Devils and the second seed Vaughan Rangers advanced to the West Final, which also begins Wednesday night. U13 Single A in the East continues to surprise as the four seed Avenue Road Ducks, Coach Campbell, upset the top seed West Hill to advance to the East Final along with the Leaside Flames. So we'll have that interview with Coach Campbell next Monday, right?
Yep.
So unfortunately, won't be able to talk about that result because we taped it before that game. But he'll be fired up because that's a big win. That West Hill team was a top team all season. So for them to sneak into that final is a great achievement. Out West, the second seed Westmall Lightning and the third seed Toronto Eagles advanced to a four-point series final. The Eagles won game one, 4-2, and can wrap up the series at Westwood on Wednesday night. U14 AA. A big upset in the East, as I talked about earlier. The top seed Scarborough Young Bruins lost to the fifth seed West Hill, came back from 5 points to 3 down in the series, and they won in double overtime. Terrific hockey game. They begin the East Final against the two-time defending champion EastEnders on Thursday night at Don Montgomery. Out West, the top seed Vaughan Rangers and Mississauga Rattlers kick their series off tonight, with the Vaughan Rangers grabbing game one of that series. U14 Single A in the second seed Forest Hill in great shape after winning game two tonight against the fourth seed Scarborough Ice Raiders to take a 4-0 series lead. At West, the top seed Toronto Eagles lead the West Final 2-0 over the second seed Humber Valley Sharks. Game two goes Thursday night at Vic Johnson.
Streetsville, Vic Johnson.
Oh, that's where Vic Johnson Arena.
Oh, yeah. Remember my cousin's husband is the manager?
Yeah. I still got to get out there because it does look like a fantastic barn.
You know who would like to host you there?
Who?
Brucey Caton.
Well, Bruce would love it. That's his old stomping grounds.
No, yeah, Streetsville Derbies, Streetsville, Vic Johnson. He's big in that area.
Oh, yes, we got to go.
Yeah, you got to go with Bruce.
Yeah, he'll be able to take us around and know wherever all the spots are.
That's it.
So as we talked about last week, U15 AAA, Don Mills Flyers had, they swept the Toronto Titans to win the AAA title. U15 AA, the East Final is over and the top seeded Ted Reeve Thunder are the champs, beating the Toronto Arrows 6-2. Out West, it's an all Vaughan final with the top seed Panthers leading the second seed Rangers 5-3. The Panthers can wrap up their series with a win or tie Thursday at Vic Johnson. So that'll be another great game at Vic Johnson. U15 Single A, Aussies division. The East Final has been tight so far with a pair of ties to start the series between the top seed Forest Hill and the third seed Avenue Road. Game three is on Easter Sunday. Out West, the second seed Greater Toronto Capitals got the jump on the top seed Vaughan Rangers, winning game one 3-2 Monday night. Game two goes this Friday at Westwood. U16 AAA, we talked about how Vaughan Kings won it over the North York Rangers. Now both teams are participating in the OHL Cup this week at Scotiabank Arena, and both are off the great starts. Neither team has lost yet and look good to make a run at the title this weekend. U16 AA, the top-seeded North York Knights, just snuck past the fourth seed Ted Reeve 7-5 in the East Semis and now lead the third seed Forest Hill 2-0 in the East Final. At West, the top seed Mississauga Beast are up 2-0 on the third seed Duffield Devils in the West Final. Duffield upset the second seed Toronto Wolverines 7-5 to reach that West Final. And finally, U16 Single A, the second seed Markham Islanders lead the fourth seed Don Mills Mustangs 2-0 in the East Final. And at West, the top seed Vaughan Panthers are facing the second seed Toronto Eagles after both teams are pushed to elimination games in the semifinals. So some really great playoff hockey all over.
Still lots of hockey. Still lots of hockey.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. There's been lots of upsets. There's teams that maybe didn't have the best regular season that are having incredible runs in the playoffs. Teams that were dominant in the regular season have, been upset in the playoffs by others. So it's been an exciting time.
That's great. Well, I think it's time to bring Stoff in to finish off the U14 bet, the U14 AAA bet, because we didn't know the answer last time. But now Stoff's ready. He's right here, rubbing his hands together, ready to tell us who got that one.
Let's do it. All right. So when we last left you, Puffy was leading 8-5.
Yes.
And now he will be leading 9-5, as in the U14 AAA's Markham defeated JRC. Puffy had Markham. You obviously had JRC, GCAT.
Yeah.
It's been a pattern for you.
Yeah. I mean, this is why I don't bet, really. Mm. You know, I don't really come out on top. I don't feel like most of the time. So Puffy's up.
Yeah. So he is now up 9-5. 9-5. Well, here's how we can make it interesting, because we got two series going on in the U13 AAA.
Yeah, let's keep going.
So let's make those worth 2 points each. And GCAT, this way, if you win these two, you can make it even at 9. And then all bets are off at that point.
Okay.
Exactly. So in the first series, we got GCAT. We have JRC if you choose to stick with them, or you can choose to go with the Flyers. So JRC, the Junior Canadians, or the Flyers,
you pick. You know, it's one of these things where it's like you should stick to what you know, stick to your guns, and like, you know, if I pick JRC, it's what I've been doing, but yeah. I feel like I'm going to make a change. I'm going to go with the Flyers. Ooh. I'm going to go with the Flyers only because I feel like I need a change. I need a bit of a change on this one. So I've got the Flyers on that one, if I can have a first choice pick there.
JRC feels like money now.
Yeah.
Feels like, and it's just so GCAT knows, JRC won game one of the series.
No,
9-2.
I knew I had a feeling. Yeah. 9-2?
Yeah, they're a juggernaut.
Wait, hold on. But isn't Flyers number one?
No. JRC is number one. Flyers actually were the 8th seed in and did a great job to sneak into the
center. No, I don't want the man.
Well, it is here. Now set in stone.
What's next?
Now, Puffy, do you
he knows the ranking. I don't know the ranking. I feel like I should.
Okay, now Puffy, did the other series start as well? Is.
Okay, yes, so I will let GCAT pick.
GCAT, you can pick between the Marlies or my Vaughn Kings. Now that I am
Vaughn Kings. Marlies or Vaughn Kings? I'm going to go with the Marlies. Oh, the Marlies.
Terrible choice.
Well, okay, I do feel
the Marlies. The Marlies are leading that series 2-0.
Okay, good.
And the Vaughn Kings are the higher seed.
Okay, but the Marlies got two games already. Or one game, 2 points.
Yeah, 2 points.
The whole 9-2 is still rattling from the Flyers.
It's a 4-point series, GCAT.
Yeah, it's a four. Oh, so I can we win one more game? It's over.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But your JRC also. I mean, your Domino's Flyers have their backs against the wall.
Yeah. Okay. But, well, let's see if
I believe.
Well, I got them here in stone now, and if. If nothing else works out, we'll just do U12, I guess. It could be next. So those are going to be worth 3 points.
U7.
Yeah.
Let's start doing
Flyers tournament weekend.
If Puffy takes a 13-5 lead at this point, we might as well just drive for the lake.
Yeah. Well, I'm down. Puffy and I are down at the lake in a couple weeks. So that can be the the time. Which
feels like you are just making more bets so the lake can warm up a little bit.
Yeah, it does feel like that.
And day by day. Might have lake to green Ontario screen still it. Cold in early May.
Yes. Yeah. Might have to jump in on May 2-4 or something like that, or up at the cottage. Exactly. But yeah, okay. All right. Well, let's see how we do. I've got it now written down stone. Thanks, Stoff, for coming.
Awesome, boys.
Making my evening.
Good luck to you both.
Thanks.
Thanks, Stoff.
I love it when stuff comes in. All right. So lots of hockey, which is great. We are done. We're keeping practices going because we're out, as you know, but we are in an Arrows tournament. So we'll have some hockey next week, which is great. Okay. And then I feel like by mid-April, it's all wrapping up. Because I heard you say the OHL Cup or the Ontario Cup. Is that done this weekend? That one's done too?
The U16 is done on Sunday. Yeah, the finals on Sunday. I think it's Sunday or Monday at Matt.
Right. Yeah. So we're really wrapping.
It'll be
up
on the TV.
It'll be on the TV.
I think Sportsnet shows it.
You sound like dad. It'll be on the TV.
It's going to be on the TV.
It's on the, what do you call it? The boob tube is what he used to call it or something like that. Nice. Okay. Well, listen, great. So we get to keep doing this for a little bit longer. Lots of hockey left. Good luck with your obviously run that you guys are about to go into with
Barrett's team. Barrett got his cast off today.
Oh, how's he feeling?
So, feeling pretty good. He's doing weights already. Handling in the basement. Can't really shoot too well so far, but so he's hoping to make an appearance at some good. Point in this series.
Yeah, good. Well, good. Take it easy. But good. All right. Well, with that, as you're coming into it, Puff, do you have a song of the week? Do you have a pump up song of the week?
I do have a song of the week. I tried to get it going in the car on the way to the rink the other day. And I was told, that it wasn't the right time for this song. It is, Geroid McCarthy, the Irish pub song. If the Toronto Shamrocks are still playing, they have to have this as like their victory song. Playing in the dressing room after a game. Tanya's like, it'd be great if it's St. Paddy's Day, but otherwise, no.
Doesn't work. It's an occasion based song.
It's a great tune. Every occasion.
Okay, it's good.
Fantastic.
Good.
It's a fantastic song.
So, okay, good. I'm looking forward
to it. But imagine, like, pregame, you're like at Ted Reeve Arena, they got Thunderstruck. If they had this going while the Shamrocks are flying around the ice,
the barn would be
just rocking. It'd be
fantastic. You know, like, what's the band? Dropkick Murphys. They've got a few songs that I think are, like, in that realm that, like, are definitely pop-up songs.
What's Shipping Up to Boston, right?
Shipping Up to Boston. There's a few.
The Bruins use that one.
I saw the Dropkick Murphy years ago.
Did you?
Yeah, in Buffalo.
Oh, nice. Well, you love Buffalo.
I want to say like 20 years ago, 15 years. Like
really?
20 years. Yeah, about 20 years ago. It's probably when I went and saw them. Maybe 18 years ago in Buffalo.
If I saw them, I'd be yelling up to the place Shipping Up to Boston over and over.
Yeah, they do a really good like instrumental punk version of Amazing Grace too, which I always liked. But so my song, one of my favorite places in the whole world is the Kita Ballad. The Kita Ballad did announce their concert lineup series this summer, yesterday. And so it was a hot, everyone I knew was looking up one of the concerts. They did the whole this is the first time they've ever done this where they dropped the whole summer in one day. So you could see all
That's
the shows.
Awesome.
They didn't like do teasers or whatever. It was just like, here's everything. And one of my favorite bands of all time is playing this summer for the first time ever. And probably the biggest band ever to play the Kita Ballad, which is the Smashing Pumpkins. And so,
seriously,
I got two tickets this morning.
Awesome.
Yeah, I bought two tickets, real hot ticket. I think it's completely sold out and, you know, not a cheap ticket. But the Smashing Pumpkins are playing midsummer, July 31st at the Kita Ballad. I have two tickets. And so in honor of that, Bullet with Butterfly Wings song is a
great song.
Just a classic. I still remember hearing that the first time, and just like that first line, the world is a vampire, and that comes on, and just great song. So Smashing Pumpkins for me today.
That's great. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Any other highlights for the summer, Keith?
Well, when we're together, the Wrecklaws are there, so we can.
Oh, nice! I'd go see them.
So the weekend we're hanging out up there. The Wrecklaws are there. There's some classics like The Trues and David Wilcox, Kim Mitchell. There's a couple ones I want to really say. There's, you know, I really want to go see April Wine. I love April Wine.
Yeah.
They're an oldie, but a goodie. And then they have some new ones. There's some country people. Josh Ross is playing there. I saw James Barker Band. Dallas Smith is playing there.
Nice.
Then there's some, you know, call it newer, but have played before, like the Beaches, Glorious Sons, Metric. So there's a real good mix of things. The other big one is Sean Paul they have in there.
Oh, they
do? Sean Paul's playing this summer. And apparently there's some more announcements. But anyway, Smashing Pumpkins in the middle of it all. So I think
that's fantastic.
That'll be fun. So yeah. All right, Puff. Well, with that, is there anything else for the crew this week?
No, just hoping everyone's staying healthy. No one's getting suspended and just more great hockey.
And watch out, because Live Barn is watching.
Live Barn sees all.
Live Barn sees all. Well, thanks, that. All right. Well, don't forget, pick up your BioSteel. Use To The Rink podcast or To The Rink code while you're buying your BioSteel on BioSteel.com. Other than that, thanks for listening. Listen to us on Spotify, Apple. Follow us on Instagram and YouTube. We really appreciate it. Thanks, Stoff, for putting this together. Everyone have a great week of hockey. Best of luck in the tournaments this weekend at the OHF tournament. And as well as the finishing off the playoffs for everybody. So best of luck, everybody. Thanks for listening.